A Simple Thing, written by Iridan, read by Marianas. Chapter 19. Pirun. Din sipped his drink, not Tihar or Tatunijunko, but some deep and smooth real drink that tasted almost smoky, like charred fruit, and watched Boba go about the business of the day for a few hours. Boba's influence on Tatooine was growing. When Din had first started standing guard over Morning Court, Boba's supplicants had all been local residents. Raiders who made their homes in the sands a few clicks from the palace, Mos Eisley's many denizens, other criminals who'd taken their orders from Jabba and Bib Fortuna and didn't have a problem taking orders from Boba in his turn. Now, though, the throne room was packed. Din counted representatives of at least 4 Tusken tribes, each marked from the others by distinct patterns carved into their gaderfi. Several of the other guests here were from Mos Eisley. Din recognized Zeltron from a previous court, a skinny human man he'd seen a few times selling stolen goods on street corners, and a cantina owner who'd come 3 times complaining about the same issue. But several were off-worlders, their impractical clothes giving them away, Skoihra, as outsiders. No one on Tatooine wore formal dress, not like the trio of humans decked out in shiny purple robes, loitering just off to the side of the throne, and as far as Din knew, Tatooine was not a popular destination for the Mon Cal, but 2 were discussing something in hushed tones over by the bar. Din tilted his helmet towards Nura, who was listening to the Mon Cal with one of her twitching leku. She caught Din's gaze and flashed him a bright grin. He lifted his drink. Whatever the Mon Cal wanted, Nura'd know about it. Din contented himself with that and went back to watching Boba. Weeks on the throne and growing influence had only made Boba more sure of himself. He handled every complaint, question, or request brought to his attention deftly. No one argued with him either, not even the Zeltron. The first time Din had seen him go before Boba, Fennec had shot the Zeltron in the knee for refusing to follow orders. This time, the Zeltron was meek, mild, and escaped Boba's orbit with both his knees intact. Din let the noise of the court wash over him. Despite how deeply entangled in Boba's business he'd become, Din still didn't have much interest in the day-to-day logistics of running a criminal empire. It sounded like too much bargaining, too much wrangling. Din kept his sensors turned up to pick up any sounds of trouble, but he let the specifics filter past his attention. The enormity of what he'd told Cobb Vanth hovered in the back of his mind. Din tried not to pay it any attention, focusing instead on the faces surrounding Boba, on keeping watch, but it prickled at him. "I am Darmanda," he'd said. "Lost." "I've said it, at least." Din had been chewing on the word for months now. He should have told someone, Boba or Kreese at the very least, since Din was entangled in both of their quests. By now, but he hadn't been able to make himself say it. "But now I've said it." Vanth didn't know what Darmanda meant, not really. From what he'd shared of the Dalahra, the slaves who'd forgotten that they should be free, Din knew that Vanth understood at least the concept, but the significance. Only a Mandalorian will understand that, Din thought. But still, he had said it. Had acknowledged it out loud, at least. Din had thought it in the privacy of his own helmet for months, but now he'd said it. Even if Vanth didn't fully understand, Din had been able to voice it. That was important. A step in the right direction. Now that Din had said it once, maybe he'd be able to say it again. Maybe he could stop pretending, he thought. He could stop pretending to be a Mandalorian, to be the same person he'd always been. "I'll tell Paz next." Paz. Din owed the truth to Paz. Paz wouldn't be happy, would probably react with violence. Had always halfway suspected Din of being a weak link, but Din still owed him the truth. "And then I'll tell Boba." Assuming Paz didn't kill him, Din should tell Boba next. If Din was lucky, Kreese had forgotten about him entirely. It had been weeks now without any word from the light cruiser. Maybe she'd forgotten that Din had agreed to help her in her quest. Maybe, after seeing the ruin of Mandalore, she'd abandoned her quest entirely. But if she calls me back, I'll tell her, too. Din could still fight, even if he was Darmanda. Losing his name as a Mandalorian didn't mean that Din had forgotten everything he'd learned as one. But once she learned the truth, Kreese wouldn't want Din around. She didn't think very highly of non-Mandalorians. She might take the Darksaber back, though. She'd refused to take it from Din up until now, but if Din told her he was Darmanda, maybe she'd get over whatever creed or code she was following and take it back. Din shifted his weight a little. The fall of his cloak hid the Darksaber where it rested on his hip as usual. Despite the fact that he'd gotten better and better with it over the last few weeks, he still didn't want to be seen carrying it around. It seemed to provoke strange reactions no matter where it went. He was used to the slight weight of it now. Weird as it is, Din thought, I am used to it. He even knew how to wield it now, sort of. He hadn't had any actual combat practice with it, a field test to see if what Din had picked up from the holocron had stuck, but he was at least pretty confident that he wasn't going to cut his own arm off waving it around. But still, if Kreese wanted it back, then it was hers. Din had no claim to it. Din pulled his thoughts away from Paz and Kreese with some effort, away from the business of being Darmanda, refocusing on the business of the court. Fennec had left her usual spot at Boba's right and was now prowling around the edges of the room, inscrutable behind her own helmet. Boba had beckoned a pair of Weequay, one tall and skinny, with three broken spikes protruding from his jaw, and one short and stocky, spikes intact, up to the throne, and was listening, head cocked, while they argued. Everyone in the throne room was watching the argument out of the corner of their eyes. The band was still playing, but as Din listened, the Bith playing the Beshnikel stumbled over a bar, discordant notes jangling harshly against the rest of the melody. Din pulled himself up off the wall, all thoughts of being Darmanda forgotten. Something was about to happen. He could feel it in the air. He set his drink down carefully and shifted his weight, ready to intervene if he had to. Sure enough, the shorter Weequay screamed, "You liar!" and lunged for his taller companion, a knife flashing in his hand. Din had his blaster drawn and leveled in less than a heartbeat, but the Weequay's target wasn't Boba. It was the other Weequay who threw up an arm at the last second and caught the smaller one's knife with a squeal of pain. The scuffle that followed was brief and bloody. The smaller Weequay pulled his knife free of the taller's arm and lunged again, this time with his entire body. The pair went tumbling off the side of the dais that held Boba's throne, hitting the ground. The crowd scattered. The taller Weequay drew a knife of his own, spitting curses, but Din could already see he'd lose. The gash in his arm was deep, spilling bluish coppery blood across the floor. He managed to cut the shorter Weequay across the cheek as the shorter rushed in for a third time, but that was it. The shorter Weequay buried his knife to the hilt in the taller one's throat, then pulled it free. The taller Weequay gurgled, pressing two fingers to his wound, then toppled to the ground and died. Silence fell over the throne room like a blow from a hammer. "Mighty Fett," the still-living Weequay stammered, turning to face Boba, who still hadn't moved from his throne. The Weequay was crouched, knife held defensively across his body. His companion's blood pooled around his boots. "Chud was a traitor, a liar. Cheem killed him for you, see? So he'll never steal from you, or Cheem, again, and Cheem will pay you back for what Chud stole, if you just give Cheem another chance." Ah, Din thought, fitting the pieces together. The two Weequay, Chud and Cheem, were smugglers, and someone had cheated Boba. Probably both of them, Din thought. Weequay weren't known for their loyalty to their employers. They made better pirates than smugglers, usually, and Weequay hunters never lasted long in the Bounty Hunters Guild, either. They always got too greedy, always bit off more than they could chew. Boba had the same idea, because he stood, slowly, and stared down at Cheem. His armored face was blank and unreadable, but the set of his body told Din what was going to happen next. Cheem saw it too, because his mouth curled back in a snarl. Cheem raised his knife, pulling his arm back to throw it, and started to bring his hand forward. Din shot first. Screams split the air, plasma sizzled. Chim yelped and cradled his hand, smoking, to his chest. The knife clattered to the floor. Bobo looked at Din, who just shrugged. Every eye in the room turned to look at Din, surprised. From the looks on the faces Din could see, most beings in the room had forgotten that Din was even there. He doubted that they would ever forget again. Chim, Bobo rumbled, drawing eyes back to the center of the room. You're out of chances. Boba, Din thought, as another bolt of plasma singed the air, isn't afraid to get his blaster warm. That had been the problem with Jabba. The old worm had grown so used to having a few dozen hunters and guards and assassins around that he'd forgotten how to do the work. Boba didn't have that problem. Boba killed Chim neatly with a single bolt between the eyes. Weakway skin was tough and could deflect bolts at a distance, but not at close range. Chim was dead before he hit the ground, Boba's blaster holstered, and the king himself back on the throne before the rest of the room really processed what had happened. Boba let the silence linger for a moment, every shocked eye on him, and then he waved a dismissive hand. A few guards crept forward to remove the bodies. Next, said Boba. Everyone stared for a moment, the whole room braced for more violence, but Boba didn't have to repeat himself. The musicians started to play again, the Beshnikel player picking up the melody, and the court resumed. Din's armor felt tighter than it had a few moments ago. Part of it was the adrenaline. He'd known which way the dunes were walking the moment Chim had started brandishing a knife, and Din's body had responded accordingly. But part of it was something else. Something that made Din's heart beat faster, made the bruises on his back and shoulders throb. Anticipation. Admiration, too. Boba hadn't panicked, hadn't faltered. He'd kept control of the room, even as the two Weakway had been brawling on the floor. It made Din's pulse thrum in a way that surprised him, a way that would have had his head spinning if Din hadn't been scanning the room for more threats. The feeling was dangerous, heady, distracting. Din's body didn't seem to care. No one else tried anything stupid as morning court wound down for the day. Din gradually was able to wrestle his heartbeat back under control, leaning back against the stairs and affecting a bored nonchalance. To anyone looking, he'd gone back to being a statue. If Din pressed his shoulders back against the wall a little harder than necessary to focus himself, using the pain to keep his thoughts from scattering, his eyes from lingering on Boba's easy, confident sprawl, well, that was Din's business. By the time Boba had heard all of his petitioners for the morning, Din had gotten himself back under control. He'd reclaimed and finished his drink, mostly to settle himself, and Boba'd heard another half-dozen requests, orders of business, or petitions. No one else tried anything violent. Finally, Boba waved a hand, dismissing everyone for the morning, and beckoned Din over. Din peeled himself off the wall and obeyed. Boba found Fennec, now skulking with Nora by the bar, and gestured for her, too. He stood and climbed down off the dais, meeting Din on the floor beneath his throne. The worn sandstone was still wet with blood. Chim had died quickly, the wound cauterizing even as it killed him, but Chud hadn't. Din wondered whose job it was to clean up after less than peaceful negotiations. He'd seen Nora scrubbing blood off the floors before, but it didn't seem like something that would be her sole responsibility. She was in charge of the bar and also in charge of gathering information. Din had seen her leku twitching several times now while she leaned in close to one knot of patrons or another. Boba tilted his head at Din, and Din could tell that Boba was smiling at him underneath the helmet. You've got a quick draw, Boba said, muffled by his vocoder. Din shrugged. I've had a lot of practice, he returned. Boba snorted. Fair. Still, good work. Those two Dekutla cowards have been stealing from me for weeks. So why wait to kill them until now? Din asked, curious. Fennec was still making her way through the crowd. Boba shrugged back. Wanted him to get even stupider, he said. Killing half-decent smugglers over a few bricks of missing spice or a misplaced blaster or two is bad for business. Lots of smugglers take a bit off the top as part of their cut. It's just the way it is. But Chad and Cheem got bold when they thought I didn't notice. I can forgive swiping a handful here and there. They took more than a third of their last shipment and didn't even notice I'd had the spice switched out for packed canyon dirt. Din snorted. Stupidity was almost as dangerous as greed in the world that Bobo was inhabiting. A smuggler who was both stupid and greedy wasn't destined to live very long. Dikutla, he said, tasting the word. What's that mean, stupid? More or less, said Bobo. Worthless is closer. A Dikut is an idiot. Dikutla is a description. Dikut, Din repeated, low enough that his words were for Boba's ears only. And Dikutla. Boba made a rough, agreeable sound and knocked his armored wrists against Din's. Their Beskar sang out the same sweet note, vibrating for a moment, and then Fennec finally made her way through the departing crowd and joined them. Din could only see her eyes through her helmet. He wondered briefly why she was wearing it. She usually only put it on if she was expecting to have to fight. Maybe she had expected negotiations to break down too and had been ready in case Chad or Cheem tried to run for it. That went better than expected, Fennec remarked. She nodded at Din companionably, but focused the majority of her attention on Bobo. It did, Bobo agreed. Din looked between them, brow furrowing. I'm missing something, he said. It wasn't a question. He could see it in the air between Bobo and Fennec, in the way they stood. In the Amban pulse rifle Fennec had strapped to her back. Ambans were heavy artillery for an enclosed space. When she was in court, Fennec relied on her Westars more. They expected something. They'd been prepared for more than just a dispute between smugglers. Bobo looked at Din, head cocked, visor gleaming, then came to a decision and nodded to himself. Not here, he said. Let's go up to my rooms. Fennec here picked up some intelligence while you were out in Mos Pelgo, Jaren. How is Mos Pelgo, by the way? How are Little Moon and the others fitting in with Vance people? Din filled Bobo and Fennec in on their way down the hall and up to Boba's rooms. He covered what he'd seen and heard, Kirsch's reports of smugglers trying to steal shipments in the deserts, and the odds and ends of news he'd heard from Vanth. He kept Vanth's agreement to use the Arha to help find Din's tribe to himself, for now. It wasn't that Din didn't trust Fennec. Bobo trusted her implicitly, and Din trusted Bobo. But he didn't want her to weigh in on the issue, either. Fennec was perceptive. She already knew more about Din than Din was comfortable with. He'd prefer to keep at least some things to himself while he could. Bobo took Din's report in stride, nodding to himself as Din filled him in. The spotted Anuba and the Sun Rock both have seen more movement in the sands, too, Bobo explained. More smugglers and pirates than usual, all of them along the road to Bestine. A few of the bolder ones have tried to take a shipment, but none have succeeded. How are the spotted Anuba? Din asked. They'd made it to the second lift, and Bobo swiped them in, letting Din and Fennec file in first while Bobo joined them as the doors closed. Bobo shrugged. Ushib will tell me when she gets back, he said. She's still with them? Proving warriors takes time, Bobo said. After the season he's had, I'm not surprised that Ashak is choosing to thoroughly test his fighters. The sands are hard enough without warriors around you that you can trust. The lift stopped and opened into Boba's rooms. Despite the fact that Din had been here just a few hours ago, that Din had spent the night here, he was surprised to find that everything was neat and orderly again. All of Boba's toys and tools put away, the bedsheets changed, the room aired out. The only things in the room that were the same were the data pads and files scattered all over Boba's work table, and the sparring ring still painted on the floor. Fennec looked at the ring pointedly, then at Din and Bobo. You boys have fun last night? Din flushed, back twinging, but Bobo snorted a laugh. If you're jealous, join us next time, Bobo said. Din's flush deepened, mortification a hot stone in his chest. But then Bobo continued. I know you're always up for a spar, Shand. The hour of the day doesn't bother you. You spar with Jaren yet? He's mean.
Oh?
Fennec turned her attention back to Din. With her helmet on, Din couldn't gauge her entire expression, but her eyes were sharp and gleaming. Mean, are you? You fight dirty? said Dan, thrown. He threw a slightly panicked look at Boba, who was in the process of taking his helmet off and therefore entirely useless. When I have to, I guess. Don't listen to him, Boba said, half muffled. He fights dirty when he wants to win. I'm going to be sore for a week. Fennec chuckled. Maybe we'll go a few rounds sometime then, Jaren, she said, looking Dan up and down again. Din stood straighter, not sure what to do with himself. He felt like Hirschel Littlemoon must have, like a soldier presenting himself to an officer for inspection. He's let me shoot at him, Boba, but we haven't tried any hand-to-hand. I've seen you fight hand-to-hand, Din muttered. I'd like to avoid a dislocated shoulder when I can. Or worse, he knew Fennec's reputation. She'd been a hunter and a killer for a long time, longer than Din had. He'd heard that she once fought Cad Bane and won. She'd survived the desert. Getting shot in the stomach had hardly slowed her down. Flatterer, Fennec teased. She tugged her helmet off, too, shaking her hair out. Reluctantly aware that he was still faintly blushing, Din did the same. He dragged a hand through his hair to sweep it out of his eyes and shook his head a little, wincing as the motion jarred his upper back. So, said Din, keen to avoid any scrutiny. What has the two of you on high alert? What intelligence did you get this morning, Fennec? Both Boba and Fennec sobered. The Hutts are going to make a move soon, Boba said darkly. Fennec nodded. I have a few years in Gorga's operation, she continued. Now that Jabba's gone, Gorga's the one with the most to lose on Tatooine if the whole planet slips out of Hutt control. His losses here mean lost face on Nal Hutta. Some of the others on the Hutt Council are starting to whisper that Gorga's slipping, losing his touch. Whispers started by Gardula, Boba added, expression still shadowed. She's trying to take over his corner of the business, and he's trying to take over mine. Din had never had any dealings with Gardula the Hutt, even though she'd once been a power on Tatooine. Din knew her by reputation only. But if she hated Gorga, maybe she'd be interested in cutting a deal like Valerian had. Gardula won't be of any help either, Fennec said, catching the question in Din's eyes. We're outsiders. She hates Gorga, but at least sees a slug too. She won't help, and she won't stick to any truces or terms we might set. She'd be as likely to stab us in the back as she'd be to offer us any useful help. What move is Gorga planning to make? Din asked, frowning hard. An all-out war with the Hutts would be incredibly dangerous. Bob had built up quite the tidy little operation here on Tatooine, and his numbers were growing every day, but the Hutt cartel had been around for centuries. They were an established syndicate with dozens of worlds under their tails. Not even the Empire had been able to jostle the Hutts out of all of their territories. They had the sort of firepower that Boba could only dream of. Maybe if Boba lasted another 5 or 10 years, he'd be able to stand up directly against the Hutts, but with what he had now... We won't survive a direct attack, Din thought. Not from the full force of the Hutt cartel. Some of his doubts must have shown in his face, because Boba grimaced and said, I know. The only good news is that Gorga's infamously tight-fisted with his credits. He hates spending clink. How is that good news? Din asked. It was Fennec who answered. Gorga's not going to pay a full army to come and storm the palace, she said. At least not right now. The New Republic and the Imperial Remnants are both paying Canto coin for merc work, which doesn't leave Gorga with many options. Either he matches Empire prices to hire enough mercs to give us real trouble, she continued, or he pays a few assassins to come and try to take Boba out on the sly. We can handle a few Nexu paws. Din blinked, concern gnawing at his belly. You're sure he'll just send assassins? It seems risky to discount the idea of Gorga sending in an armed force. Hutts were not known for their patience or their subtlety. Fennec shrugged. A calculated risk, she said. If Gorga had more support among the rest of the Hutts, I'd be more concerned, but he's pretty isolated. His resources are thin. We've got at least a few days before Gorga can get someone planetside, too, Boba added. He drummed his fingers against the surface of his work table. Fennec and I cleaned the last of his people out of Mos Eisley. I've got eyes and ears in Mos Espa, too. Bestine is mine, Wayfar. The spotted Anuba will watch the Dune Sea. Din's skin still prickled with unease. He felt dread coiling in his stomach, a feeling he couldn't place or shake. "And you're sure?" he repeated. "As sure as we can be," Boba said. His tone had softened a little. "Fennec and I, we knew the risks when we came here, Jaren. Someone from the cartel was always going to take offense. Someone was always going to try and snatch Tatooine back. I'd rather it be Gorga than Gardula." Din didn't know much about the Hutts individually. He'd done his best to avoid their attention. Boba and Fennec clearly did know the Hutts, so they probably had the situation handled, but anxiety still chewed at Din's gut. "You think you've got a few days before Gorga makes a move?" he asked. Boba inclined his head. "This," Fennec said, tapping her own fingers against her helmet, which made a hollow sound, like plastoid or Catan-grade composite, "is mostly just to be ready. You understand." Din, who'd worn armor everywhere he'd gone for over 20 years, nodded reluctantly. He did understand, and Boba, at least, was protected by Beskar. He wondered why Fennec had refused to armor herself in the same. Plastoid was good, Katarn better, but both were fallible. If the Hutts were coming. "How many assassins, do you think?" Din asked. An expression of brief surprise flickered across Boba's face, but he recovered himself and said, 3 or 4 if the pattern holds." "Didn't the last group come in wearing Tusken robes?" "They did," Fennec said, a faint edge to her voice. "Which is why all the door guards have been trained at least a little in Tusken sign to sort out an outsider from the Tuskra." Din winced at the implicit reproach. Fennec was, after all, in charge of the palace's security. She knew what she was doing. She didn't need input from Din, whose skills lay in hunting, in catching a target, not necessarily in defending one. He conceded the point with a nod of his head. "I can keep watch in the air," he offered. "With a jetpack or the fly. Run a few patrols a day, maybe. Look for things that have changed out in the desert or the city." "You planning to stick around for a few days?" Boba asked, firmly retaking control of the conversation. Din made himself meet Fennec's eyes and then looked down in a brief, silent apology. She softened a little, accepting it. "I am," Din said. "You mind keeping to your post in the throne room, then?" Boba asked. "A few eyes in the sky couldn't hurt either, if you don't mind taking Kasik up with you." Din shook his head. "No, I can do that," he said. "Good," said Boba. "Most beings will think twice before going past a Mandalorian and Beskar Gam." Din nodded. He could be the first line of defense if an assassin or a band of them made it past the door guards into the palace. He curled his hands loosely, then relaxed them, the motion pushing tension out of his shoulders and chest and into his fingertips. Fennec patted his shoulder, then slid her helmet on and made for the lift again. "Jaren, come see me before dinner," she instructed. "I'll point out the guards and what I want you to watch for. Boba, get some rest." Din inclined his head, resisting the bizarre urge to stand at attention or salute Fennec as she passed. Boba just made a noncommittal noise, which had Fennec turning around to fix them both with a narrow-eyed glare. "Jaren," she said, in the same firm, allure-like tone, "make him rest." "I'll try," Din said, not sure he'd have much success on that front. Usually Boba was the one taking care of Din. He wasn't sure how to go about caring for Boba, and the look in Boba's eyes told Din that Boba had no intention of whiling away the afternoon catching an Exu nap in the suns. Fennec snorted. "Try sparring," she suggested, and a sly note lifted in her tone. "I hear it helps with all sorts of things." Din blushed, which made her eyes turn up beneath her helmet. She jabbed a finger in Boba's direction, reinforcing her earlier command to rest, and disappeared into the lift. Boba waited until the lift doors were closed before shaking his head. "She sleeps even less than I do," he said. "And don't even think about trying to get me to take a nap, Jaren. I'm a grown man. I'll sleep when I need to." Din held his hands up in mock surrender, still flushed around the ears. "Boba told me that Fennec would figure it out," he thought ruefully. Fennec knew what Din and Boba had gotten up to last night. She knew that sparring had only been part of it. "Come here," said Boba, tone lowering. "Tell me about Mos Pelgo. Can Vanth help you?" Din did as he was told, drifting into Boba's orbit again. "He can," Din said. He said he'd have the Ahra look for me, starting on planet, going from Mos Entha outward around the Dune Sea. Boba nodded, expression thoughtful. "A good strategy," he said. "He give you any trouble about calling it the Ahra?" "No," said Din, eyes narrowing. A vague suspicion formed, then hardened. He remembered Vanth's reaction to hearing that Boba knew what Vanth's people called themselves. "Did you expect him to?" Boba shrugged. "Maybe a little, but not really. Vanth likes you. He trusts you. You've helped him and his out of a few tight spots." "Did you tell me what the network was called to test me?" "No," said Boba. "To test Vanth." "With me in the middle as bait," Din grumbled. He considered putting more heat behind his words, considered puffing up like an angry spit viper, but he didn't see the point, not really. Boba offered him a thin smile. "Not as bait," he corrected. "But in the middle, well, you're in the middle whether you like it or not, Jerrica." It was the first time Boba had called Din that outside of the strange private space they'd carved for themselves after the suns had set. Din startled to hear it, his eyes darting to meet Boba's. Boba looked startled to have said it, eyes wide. "Jaren," Boba corrected. "It's fine," Din said. He didn't object to the nickname, not really. He'd hated most names he'd been given as a foundling, but those had all been names the other kids had used to tease him for being small and weak and behind on his sparring skills. Boba didn't call him Jerrica to point out weaknesses. He didn't call Din a diminutive to talk down to him. Every time he said it with affection. It was an affection that Din returned, even if he didn't have any nicknames to give back to Boba. "I don't mind," Din said, when Boba just kept looking at him. "The name, I mean, it's fine." "Jaren," Boba repeated, gently. "For this, anyway. Business." Din remembered the rules they'd agreed to in this very room, Din looking up at Boba from his knees. They had both agreed to keep what went on at night between them separate from any other business that they had. Din nodded slowly. "Jaren, then." Boba relaxed a bit, expression flickering. Din thought that he looked guilty for a second, which didn't make much sense, and continued talking. "Jaren," Boba said. Din tried not to twitch. He couldn't remember the last time he'd heard his name said so many times in the span of just a few minutes. Even when others called him Mando, they said it as little as possible. "You're in the middle of this, whether you want to be or not," Boba said. Din sighed. "I know." Din was the one who'd gone to Mos Pelgo and helped Boba strike a deal. He was the one who kept going back, who kept letting Vanth get to know him. Din liked Mos Pelgo. He liked its people. He didn't mind standing between them and Boba. He didn't mind bridging those two parts of his life. His trust and admiration of Boba, who was an honest and loyal leader, who Din was increasingly fond of, and his respect for Vanth and his people, for what they were doing, for the life they'd made for themselves on Tatooine. "Does it bother you?" Boba said. His eyes were dark. "Standing between me and Vanth?" "No," Din said, honestly. He did cut Boba a sharp glance. "Though I do appreciate being told I'm going to be put in the middle. You weren't testing whether or not Vanth was all right with me knowing about the network. Vanth called me Batran. You were trying to see whether or not he was all right with you knowing." "I was," Boba admitted. He ran a hand over his head, his palm scraping his scars. "The Ahra, well, I'm sure Vanth told you. I've never been a friend to them." "He said as much." Boba snorted. "And more, I'm sure." Din shrugged. "Well," said Boba, shaking his head to clear out the wistful note that had entered his voice. "The Kark I did for Jabba is all in the past. I can't undo it, can't erase it, but I want Vanth to know that I'm not in that business anymore." That you know about the Ahra and will leave them alone, Din murmured, understanding. Boba nodded. I'll never be Bachan, he said. I know what that means, a friend to the people, their people. But you, you can be. And if Vanth trusts you and you do some work for me... You know that Vanth trusts you too, Din finished. At least enough to work with you. Exactly, said Boba, smiling crookedly. Sorry you're in the middle of it, but you are, and that's too useful a connection to pass up. Din shrugged again, not bothered now that he understood Boba's reasoning. It made sense, and it was a practical strategy. Boba was using the resources he had on hand. Din didn't mind lending Boba his reputation among Mos Pelgo's people. He minded helping Vanth out even less. Just tell me next time, Din said, smiling crookedly back. Boba snorted faintly. Fine, he said. There's a good chance you're going to end up between me and the Hutt cartel if you stick around. Are you okay with that? That made Din pause a little. He had done his best to stay out of the way of the syndicates, aside from taking some jobs here and there before he joined up with the Bounty Hunters Guild. Syndicate work could be lucrative, but it was also dangerous. It brought scrutiny. The Guild hadn't cared where Din went between jobs, hadn't bothered trying to follow him to the covert or off-world. The syndicates would have, because the syndicates were keen to ensure that their hunters and killers were loyal. Some were happy to pay a few extra credits to maintain loyalty, but others preferred blackmail, hostages. Din hadn't wanted to risk bringing any of that attention down on the covert. I think, Din said carefully, turning it over in his head, that it's too late for me to back out anyway. Yes, I'm okay with it. Too late? Din shrugged with one shoulder and set his helmet down on the edge of Boba's work table. Lady Valerian knows that I'm with you, he said. Vanth does, too. Word gets around on Tatooine, and I don't exactly blend into the crowd. The Hutts probably already know that I'm here, that I'm with you. Boba grimaced. You could leave, he suggested quietly. Disappear for a few weeks, go see your kid. The Hutts want me, they won't chase you halfway across the galaxy. They will if they think they can use me as bait, Din pointed out. He shook his head. I don't mind being in the middle between you and the Hutts either. They already know that I'm here. If I still had the kid with me, I'd probably feel a little different, but he's safe on... with a Jedi. Skywalker won't let anything happen to him, and I can take care of myself. Against the Hutts? Bub asked. Din scowled. You're going against the Hutts, aren't you? Din couldn't imagine Boba breaking and running now. He'd settled into his role here on Tatooine, in the palace. Din couldn't imagine Boba wanting to give it all up and leave, no matter how many assassins Gorga sent his way or how many rival crews he had to fight off. Yes, said Boba. I am. Din gestured at the space between them. So I guess I am too, he said. At least I can handle a few assassins. I don't know about an army if Gorga decides it's worth the expense, but maybe I can borrow the light cruiser and... The light cruiser? Boba interrupted. Kreese won't help me. I can probably figure out how to hotwire a light cruiser, Din told Boba, frowning a little. Koska likes me, I think. She'd help. If not, I can just take Fennec, maybe stop by Navarro and grab Kara. Between the three of us, we could take the cruiser long enough to bring it here for an orbital bombardment. Wipe the majority of Gorga's forces off the... Why are you laughing? Din asked, suspicious. Boba had broken out into a grin, eyes turning up the corners, silent laughter shaking his shoulders. Din scowled. He'd meant what he'd said. Sorry, said Boba, once he'd gotten himself under control. Din scowled harder, feeling needled. Fine then, he wanted to snap. Face the Hutts on your own. It's just... You mean it, don't you? Boba asked. Din stared at him. Mean... Yes, I mean it, he said. You'd still cruise his cruiser and bring it here to help me if I needed it. Well, it's not her cruiser to start with, Din grumbled, but Boba's smile softened. I'm not laughing at you, Boba finally said, watching Din's face. Some of the bright humor around his eyes faded, replaced by something more serious. It's just... You're... Verburish, loyal. I didn't expect that, I guess. Din straightened up, affronted. But before he could get himself worked up about it, of course I'm loyal, Din thought fiercely. Boba had shown Din respect, friendship, loyalty, care. Of course Din wanted to see that returned. Boba reached out and caught Din's wrist. They were both still wearing their gloves, so the intimacy they'd found last night, Boba's fingers wrapped around Din's wrist, was blunted. But Din's body still remembered. I mean no insult, said Boba gently. I know you have your honor. It's just most beings, even those with honor, don't usually bother to spend it on me, that's all. Oh, said Din. His shoulders slumped a little, some of his indignation fading. Boba has never had a clan. He'd had his father, Din knew, but he also hadn't had his father around for very long. Din had grown up with a dozen brothers and sisters, with elder warriors to run to and an Allure who'd always known what to say. Din had always known that someone would be looking out for him, that someone would have his back. Even when Din and Paz had fought, which had been frequently when they were children, and then frequent again after Din had been named Baroya and Paz hadn't, Din had known that if an outsider had tried to bother Din, Paz would have backed him up. Paz had backed him up, not 3 hours after calling Din a coward in front of the entire covert. Paz had come to help Din rescue the kid. But Boba didn't grow up with a brother like Paz. Din and Boba stood in silence for a minute, Boba's hand wrapped around Din's wrist, and then Boba let him go. He cleared his throat. Din did the same, abashed. Stealing Kreese's light cruiser would be inconvenient, Din finally said gruffly. So don't count on it, okay? But if you need it... I understand, Boba cut in, before either of them could embarrass themselves any further. Boba cleared his throat again, flexing his hand at his side. So now we understand each other, yeah? I think so, Din said. He wasn't sure, honestly, but he didn't want to blunder in again and say the wrong thing. He wanted... well... Din wanted a lot of things. But as long as Boba understood that Din would come to his aid if Boba needed it, that Din was proud to be Talvod, even if Boba didn't want any brothers, Din was satisfied. He tried to tell Boba that with his expression. Boba nodded once and graciously moved on. So Vance looking for your people, he said. You're sticking around then? Yes, said Din. He told me it'd take a few days. I don't want to be in the black or somewhere else when Vanth calls to tell me he's found them, so I'm here. Put me to work. Boba chuckled again. I thought, he said, that we might have some fun first before going back to work. Din faltered. His stomach dropped. Anticipation flooded his chest, keen and bright. Almost bright enough to drown out the lingering ache in his back, the soreness in his legs. Now? He asked. Nothing strenuous, Boba said. He leaned a hip against the work table and looked Din up and down. You're tired, and don't tell Fennec she's insufferable when she's right. I'm tired, too. But yesterday, some people working for me finished something I'd like to show you, if you're up for it. Could help us both unwind. Rest, even. Din eyed Boba, thrown again. He didn't understand how Boba could shift so easily between the two parts of himself, between the serious Allure and the playful man Din was getting to know. Boba didn't seem to notice that he'd shifted from one man into the other in the space of a sentence. Rest? Din repeated, doubtful. Rest, Boba agreed. Din sighed and dragged his hand down his face. You're gonna show whatever it is to me eventually, aren't you? Boba shrugged. Probably. Fine, said Din. What is it? Indulge me, said Boba, voice warm and rich. Leave your armor here. I'll do the same. Your worries about the huts, too. Gorga can't make a move today. I usually do, Din muttered, already moving to obey. He'd been indulging Boba for weeks. Din was used to shedding his armor around Boba by now. He'd shed it all not a day ago, the bruises on his back warm at the memory. Din started with his gauntlets and efficiently worked his way down to just his underclothes, a thin, sleeveless shirt and pants that ended just above Din's knees. Boba did the same, shedding his armor until he was wearing his usual loose black clothes. He looked Din up and down, held up a finger, and disappeared around the central pillar for a moment before reappearing with a proper shirt and pants, which he chucked at Din's head. Din caught them, brow furrowing. "Usually you want me to take off my clothes, not put more on," Din pointed out dryly. Boba chuckled. "Patience, Durka," he said. The use of the nickname made Din's breath catch in anticipation. Boba definitely had something in mind. Not 10 minutes ago, Boba had refused to use the nickname while discussing business, which meant that their business was over, at least for now. Din lifted his chin. "We'll get to the part where we take our clothes off," Boba continued lightly. "But what I want to show you isn't up here. You're welcome to go wandering through the halls in nothing but your palgam if you want, of course. We're an open-minded lot here." Din scowled at him and pulled the shirt on roughly, followed by the pants. Boba smiled. "Good," he said. "Now, come on, it's not far." Half curious and half wary, Din did as he was asked, following Boba to the lift. His hand twitched for his helmet, but he left it behind. "I'm Darmanda," he reminded himself, the words still sharp on his tongue. He didn't need the helmet anymore. Shouldn't need it. Boba got them both into the turbolift and then down into the wide, airy hallway that connected his tower to Jabba's old one and the rest of the palace. Din focused on the feel of the borrowed shirt against his skin, the scratchy threads, the looseness in the shoulders. Boba was shorter than Din, but broader, so his shirt hung oddly across Din's frame. He focused on that rather than the mounting apprehension, the possibility of walking out into the throne room in nothing but Boba's clothes. Boba, however, didn't take Din there. They took Jabba's old turbolift down, as Din had 50 times by now, but instead of stopping on the main level, Boba took the lift lower and lower. Din blinked, confused. "Are we going back to the treasure rooms?" he asked. He didn't know how much Beskar he'd managed to earn since Boba had first shown him the hoard, but there was almost certainly more down there. Beskar and Jedi artifacts, junk and treasure, Jabba's prizes. "Not quite," said Boba. The lift doors opened into a cavernous, cool, dark room, and Din stopped in his tracks. His mind paused. He didn't understand what he was seeing. "What is all this?" Din asked, staring. Boba just grinned, ushering Din out of the lift. "Impressive, isn't it?" he said. Din just stared some more, trying to make sense of it all. The room almost looked like a Tusken oasis. Water lapped the edge of a wide, smooth sandstone basin, and vivid green plants curled around the walls, filling the air with the smell of growing things. Only the bubbler in the middle of the basin and the dim light gave the pool away as unnatural. There were underground springs welling up all through the desert, but none of them bubbled like this, and none of them sat in such a perfectly round, smooth basins either. Faint light shone from above them, let in by small slits cut into the cave-like roof. "It's too quiet, too," Din thought, looking around. Oases in the desert were full of life and noise. Insects gathered above the water and droned. Birds made their nests in the reeds. Bantha came down and wallowed in the shallows. No animals had been allowed down here. "This used to be a sauna back in the day," Boba explained. "Huts have a hard time in dry places like Tatooine, so the old worm used to come down here a few times a week and soak himself in muck. Cleaning it out was a task, let me tell you. Fennec thought I should just torch the place." Din wrinkled his nose. He could imagine. "Why didn't you?" he asked, still looking around. In the low light, he couldn't tell how deep the water was. "It can't be cheap pumping in all this water." Boba shrugged. "I've got the water already," he said. "The aquifer is only 30 feet beneath us." He smiled slyly, humor glinting in his eyes. "And I'm a king now, aren't I? I feel like I should at least look the part, keep a few extravagances around." Din rolled his eyes. "Is that the title you're going with?" he teased. "Not, His Magnificence, or Lord Fat. You can call me whatever you like, said Boba graciously, the corners of his eyes crinkling. Whatever you go with, Fennec will call me the opposite. Doesn't want me to get an inflated ego, she says. Din chuckled. So, what is this place? He asked. A meditation room? Now that he looked at the cavernous room again, it reminded him of the overgrown gardens the Jedi kept on Yavin 4. The sound of the water, the smell of new plants, the gentle light. Din could probably fall asleep down here. Meditation room? No, said Boba. It's a bath.
A bath?
Told you it was an indulgence, Boba said, amused by Din's incredulous tone. Din decided to stare at him again. No one on Tatooine kept baths. There wasn't any point. Some of the planet's richer residents kept showers instead of the usual sonics, but a bath was unheard of. An extravagance for a more water-rich planet like Naboo or Alderaan, or for a place where plenty of clients could pay. Canto Bight and Narshada both had legendary bathhouses. They were a core world luxury, exported only to those who could afford them. Ever been in one?
A bathhouse? No, said Dan, still surprised.
He'd learned how to swim in rivers and lakes and ponds. First in his original home in cold water, the memories old and dim. Then again as a child in the covert. Kashyyyk had plenty of water when he'd lived there. Darrow and Dantooine, too. As foundlings, they'd washed in lakes and streams, scrubbed off a day of training, or waded in to cool off after a spar. But Din had never seen the point in shelling out extra credits between jobs to visit the bathhouses of Narshada or Ord Mandel. Good, said Boba, pleased. Take off your clothes, then. You like this, I think. Din blinked at Boba, then at the water. He hesitated. Right now? Don't you have... Isn't there another session of court? Wouldn't you rather rest? Din, said Boba. And his playfulness didn't vanish exactly, but it sharpened, took on more authority. He didn't have to say anything else. Taking a bath wasn't what Din had had in mind when Boba told Din that he wanted to show him something, but... I agreed, Din thought. He swallowed, surprise fading into more general nerves, and settled his fingers at the hem of his shirt. Boba didn't turn away as Din carefully peeled his shirt off, wincing as the motion strained his bruised back, making pain echo through him. Din hissed when the muscles shifting in his shoulders protested and Boba's eyes darkened with desire. He likes this, Din realized, dropping his shirt to the floor. He likes seeing me in pain. Months ago, that would have frightened Din. A man who liked seeing other men in pain was dangerous. Not to be trusted. A warrior could cause pain if he had to, but he shouldn't enjoy causing it. Boba can be trusted. Din wasn't so blinded by the way he felt about Boba that he thought that Boba wasn't dangerous. Boba was a Mandalorian. All Mandalorians were dangerous. But the fact that Boba enjoyed seeing Din in pain wasn't anything to shy away from or mistrust. The realization sat like a forge coal in Din's belly, spreading warmth. His fingertips warmed and began to tingle. Boba watched Din with open interest as Din tugged his pants off, his eyes tracking Din's expression. Din didn't need to be asked to shed his underclothes. He knew what Boba wanted. He stepped out of everything, shivering a little at the feeling of cool air moving across his skin. Boba met Din's eyes and held them, tugging his own shirt off over his head, stepping out of his own clothes. When they were both bare, Boba gestured at the water. Come in, he invited. His tone had softened again. Swallowing, Din did. He took a cautious step into the basin's shallow edge and lifted his eyebrows, surprised again. The water was warm. Most oases on Tatooine were cool, the water kept chilled by the aquifers and springs underground. Oases warmed up as the sun shone overhead, but then they cooled again overnight. Din would have expected an underground pool to be cold. But the water that lapped around his ankles was pleasantly warm. There are temperature controls underneath us, Boba explained, catching on.
He waded in without hesitation, taking 3 or 4 long strides into the pool. The sides were sloped. Within those few steps, Bobo was in water up to his waist. Jabba kept it humid. You wouldn't believe what we had to scrub off the walls. Din made a face, but took another tentative step. The bottom of the pool was textured, almost sand-like. Water curled around Din's calves, then his knees, then his thighs, as he inched deeper into the pool. "How deep does it go?" he asked, curious.
"Deep enough to swim in, if you want," said Bobo. "I had parts of it cut out or reshaped. Jabba couldn't swim, but I can you?"
Din nodded. He rarely got the opportunity, since Beskar sank, but he'd learned as a foundling, and he had a set of distant, faded memories of learning how to paddle. Strong hands against his chest, teaching him how to float, laughter rising towards a gray sky, cold water closing over his head, reeds waving at him as salt stung his eyes.
"Good," said Bobo, pleased. "Come on, then. Keep up."
Bobo turned and pushed off, rising out of the water a little before slipping gracefully underneath and kicking off towards the center of the pool. Din shook his head, amused, but obeyed. He did the same, pushing off against the floor and sinking beneath the water. It closed over his head with a whisper and left him in a dark world. He opened his eyes and could only see vague shapes, Bobo's heels flashing ahead of him, the column of bubbles pushed up from the floor. Din followed as best he could. He wasn't an excellent swimmer by any means, but he could manage. He felt the bubbles wash against him, pushing water towards the edges of the basin. Bobo stopped near the middle, and Din followed, coming up out of the water and shaking his head like a massif to get it out of his eyes. He could still stand here. The water came up to his chest. Din felt a little less exposed like this, all but the uppermost bands of bruising across his back hidden by the water. Bobo couldn't see any of Din's other marks, either. The crescent nail points he dug into Din's side and belly, the faint traces of the clamps still left around Din's nipples. Din sank a little lower into the water, enjoying its temperature. Most rivers and lakes he'd swum in had been cold. He'd never been in water like this before, water that felt like an extension of his body, like the heat of another living thing.
"Where'd you learn how to swim?" Din asked, pushing off from the floor and taking a few experimental strokes around Bobo, who led him.
"Not here."
"No," said Bobo, "not here. I grew up on a water world. Kamino, ever hear of it?"
The name sounded familiar, but it wasn't anywhere Din had ever been. He shook his head.
Bobo hummed. "The entire planet was water," he finally said, after thinking for a minute or two. "An ocean. I didn't learn how to swim in the ocean. There were too many storms, but my father thought that I should learn. There were training facilities there on Kamino. Every kind of environment you could imagine. Dad taught me how to swim in a pool like this one. He'd turn the bubbler on when I got bigger so I could practice swimming against resistance."
"Oh," Din said, awkwardly. He should have guessed that it had been Boba's father who'd taught him how to swim, since it had been the clan elders who'd taught Dan, but he hadn't meant to bring Boba's father up.
"I think I learned how to swim on my home planet, too," Din offered. His memories were very old and very vague, but I remember hands. My father's hands, I think. Strong and gentle, scarred with rope calluses and a lifetime of hard work. Din closed his eyes a little and swam some more, trying to grab hold of the memory. "Our village, it flooded during the rainy season." He remembered that with more clarity. Gray skies and thunder. So much rain that he'd been afraid the world would wash away. When the rain stopped, we'd swim out into the fields and look to see what they'd left behind.
"Where are you from?" Bobo asked. Din stopped swimming and shrugged.
"I don't remember," he said. "Somewhere in the Outer Rim."
His Allure would know. She'd kept track of where all of them had come from. Din hadn't. If he'd known what planet was his, where he'd come from, he'd forgotten it a long time ago. He'd lived so many places, traveling from covert to covert, that it was hard to keep track. "The older warriors kept teaching the rest of us kids whenever we lived somewhere with enough water," Din continued, mostly to stave off any more uncomfortable questions. The memory of gray skies and rain and big calloused hands faded, replaced by newer, clearer memories. The deep, still lakes of Kashyyyk, Annika laughing as she took a running leap from the boughs above and bounced into the water off the glowing lung plants that dotted the lakeshore. Fishing on a riverbank on Dantooine with paws, swimming with garfish and glackfish, and dunking each other underwater until the elders intervened, before all the foundlings worked together to half-drown Palace Vizsla and raid his pockets for cigars and dried biba fruit.
"You live a lot of places?" Boba asked.
"Yes," said Din. "Did you?" Boba sank down into the water enough to swim and made his way over to Din, ripples lapping at them both.
"Yes," he said, "and no. I mostly lived on the ship once I got back. Didn't set down anywhere for too long. Didn't do much swimming either, now that I think about it."
He made it close enough to touch, if Din wanted to touch him. Din looked at Boba instead. Boba was looking back. His gaze held none of the usual scrutiny Din felt when people looked at him. None of the judgment, none of the calculation. No measuring Din up against the idea of a Mandalorian, against Din's reputation, against anything. He was just looking. Din tried not to flush.
"What?" he asked.
Boba shrugged.
"Nothing," he said. "I'm just thinking. I've got something I'd like to try, if you're interested."
"What is it?"
Boba chuckled.
"Trust me," he said, instead of answering the question. "You'll enjoy it. You just need to wait here for a minute." Din made a face at him, but didn't argue further.
"Fine," he said. "I'll just float here, then."
"Orjete," said Boba, wielding the praise with as much skill as he'd swung the flogger last night. Din felt the word with almost the same sort of searing impact. He let out a tiny breath, wanting more.
"Stay," Boba repeated firmly, then kicked off again and swam back towards the edge of the pool in strong, confident strokes.
Din watched him for a moment, then decided to do as he was told. The pool wasn't deep, not like a Kashyyyk lake, but if Din floated on his back and looked up at the thin strips of light streaking down from the ceiling, Din could almost imagine that he was in an ocean, floating beneath the stars. It was nice, he supposed. Oddly peaceful for Jabba the Hutt's palace on Tatooine. Almost like an oasis. The water lapping at the sides of his face even helped block out some of the low, constant whine in his ears.
Has Boba been to an oasis? He must have visited at least one. He'd planted the same sort of oasis-side plants that the Tuskens cultivated in the desert. Maybe he'd seen one when he'd been recovering from the Sarlacc. He must have liked it if he had. Cleaning the pool out, restoring it like this, it wasn't something Boba would have done on a whim, even if he'd tried to pretend otherwise.
Din smiled to himself, kicking a little to stay more or less in place.
I like that he showed me this.
Whatever Boba was doing at the water's edge didn't take long. He was back within a few moments, a wake rippling out ahead of him to lick Din's ribs.
"Enjoying yourself?" he asked.
"It is nice," Din admitted. He righted himself in the water and found Boba closer than he expected. Din blinked, startled, but before he could pull away to give them both a little more space, Boba reached out and took Din by the chin, very gently. Din froze. Boba had a thumb on one side of Din's jaw, the spread of his fingers on the other.
"What are you doing?" Din asked.
Boba smiled at him, sharp as a knife.
"Thinking," he said.
He applied a little more pressure, and Din went with it easily, letting Boba turn his head first to one side, then the other. Boba's eyes roamed over Din's face.
Din let him do that, too.
"About?" Din prompted. His mouth had gone dry, and his heart was beating faster. The water, which had been perfectly warm a moment ago, felt colder.
"I think," said Boba, tone grave, "that I want to kiss you."
Din flushed a little. He wanted to turn his face away to hide from the hungry expression in Boba's eyes, but he couldn't. Boba wouldn't let him. His grip was too strong.
"You can," Din finally said, wrestling his heartbeat under control. "I won't stop you."
"Good boy,"
Boba murmured, expression intent, and leaned in. His grip on Din's jaw was unyielding. He pulled Din down to meet him and held Din there, pressing his lips to Din's own. His mouth was warm. Din surrendered to Boba immediately, opening his mouth when Boba licked across the seam of it and nipped Din's bottom lip. Boba hummed in approval, the sound so close it was more a sensation than a sound. The first time Boba had kissed Din like this, he'd been gentle, slow. All of that gentleness was gone. Boba kissed Din this time like he wanted to eat Din alive. His teeth were sharp as he nipped Din again, a prickle of pain that transformed into heat immediately. His grip was tight enough to bruise. "I hope it does," Din managed to think, through the heat and the dizziness and the insistent press of Boba's tongue pushing deeper and deeper into Din's mouth. "I hope it does, Bruce." Din wanted Boba's fingertips pressed into his jaw. He wanted bruises stamped there, dark and perfect, matching the bruises he carried on his back, the ones riding low on his hip. He wanted. Boba finally pulled away, letting Din pull in lungfuls of air. He kept his grip on Din's chin, though, and Din didn't resist. He swayed a little, made lighter by the water, and tried to clear his head, but he could still feel Boba's mouth on his own. It was hard to clear that away. "Jerrica," Boba said, voice intent. "Do you trust me?" "Yes," Din said immediately. He frowned a little. He thought that Boba had known that. They'd done this before, after all. Not a full day ago. Of course Din trusted him. "Good. Come with me." He let go of Din's jaw and turned back towards the edge of the pool without looking back. Boba expected to be obeyed. Din followed, still dazed. The water helped bring him back to himself a little. Din shook his head to clear it again and found Boba waiting for him by the water's edge. He had something small and dark in his hands. "What's that?" Din asked warily, all of his bruises twinged at once. Boba's eyes turned up at the corners. "Does it matter?" he asked. "Probably not," Din admitted. He had agreed to try whatever Boba asked him to, and kept agreeing. Even if his bruises hurt, if he was tired, Din was willing to give Boba the benefit of the doubt. "It's not a flogger," Boba finally said, relenting a little. "Come here. Sit down in the water." Din did, sinking to his knees in the pool. The textured floor dug into his knees, but with the water helping take some of Din's weight, it wasn't unbearable. He sat back on his heels and looked up at Boba expectantly. Boba snorted. "Sit, Din," he said. "You don't need to kneel, not for this." Confused now, Din shifted so that he was sitting, water up to his waist. Anticipation prickled up his spine. Boba looked Din over, then nodded to himself. "Good," he said. "Now turn around." Din huffed. "Are you just going to order me around all day?" he asked. Boba responded by flicking Din in the back of the head. "Manners," he said mildly. "That's your only warning, Mirsheb." Din subsided. Boba's hand ghosted over the warm skin of Din's back, not quite touching, but close enough that Din could feel the air move between them. He tensed before he could stop himself, afraid that Boba would press down on his bruises, wanting Boba to do it anyway. "How does your back feel?" Boba asked. A hungry note had entered his voice. "Sore?" "It hurts," Din admitted, "but it's good." "Walking around in Beskar can't be fun." Din shrugged a little. "It's good," he repeated. He wasn't sure he knew how to say what he meant, that the bruises helped, that Din liked having them, that he wanted Boba to press a hand to the worst of them and push. Boba hummed in reply. "Good," he said. "I'm not going to hit you today, Jerrica. These are too fresh, and we're both tired." "But," he added, when Din slumped a little in the water, "I've got something else in mind. Something relaxing."
"That doesn't sound very relaxing when you say it that way," Din said.
Boba chuckled, which did nothing to alleviate Din's mounting nerves. This was new. Din hated new.
So far, everything Boba had done had been, well, Din didn't know if he could call a flogging enjoyable, but it had all been bearable, at least. Helpful. But the unknown lurked around the edges of their conversation. "You trust me," Boba reminded Din. Din nodded. "I do," he agreed. "So close your eyes," Boba said, "and hold very still. I'd hate to slip."
Slip?
But Din shut his eyes, his body reacting in a familiar way now, his other senses picking up to compensate, his awareness of Boba unfolding. He felt Boba shift, coming to stand in front of Din. Boba bent, water whispering, and brought a hand up to Din's cheek. His palm was full of water, which he pressed to Din's face, wetting his beard. Boba repeated the process on the other side.
"What are you?"
"Shh," said Boba easily, like quieting a restless hound. Din wanted to bristle, but he had an idea where this was going now. He closed his mouth. Boba rewarded him with an affectionate hand carding through Din's hair. Then there was the sound of something metal moving and a faint hiss. Something that smelled faintly of cedru wood hit the air. Boba's hand returned and spread something cool across Din's beard, from his cheekbones down to his jaw, under his chin. Depo cream, Din thought. His heart beat even faster. "Now," Boba said, once he'd finished and the air was full of the smell of cut cedru trees, heady and overwhelming. "You do need to hold still, Jarika. I'm old-fashioned." Din wanted to open his eyes, wanted to ask Boba what he meant, but he didn't have to. Something very cold and very sharp touched the side of his face, just below his cheekbone. A straight razor. Din's entire body locked. "Udesi," Boba rumbled, the peaks of Mandoa rising. "You're all right. I won't hurt you." Din swallowed, because that wasn't true and his body knew it. Knew that it was inches away from a blade that could end his life in a heartbeat. But Din and Boba had promised to be honest to each other, at least like this, which meant that Boba was telling the truth. He wouldn't hurt Din, not like this. "That's it," Boba murmured, as Din forced himself to relax, pushing tension down to his hands, which he flexed underneath the water. "That's it, just let it happen." Din gave a bare nod, the razor cold against his cheek. Boba took Din by the jaw again, gently. "It won't take long," he promised. "Just gonna clean you up a little is all." The first pass of the razor didn't skim off too much hair. Boba wasn't applying any pressure, not yet. He was just getting Din used to the sensation, the rasp of the blade over his skin, the very fine edge of it. Din clenched his hands beneath the water, then relaxed them. He let his eyes screw shut. Boba's next few passes were more of the same, gentle enough to give Din the time he needed to convince himself that he wasn't in any true danger. "Ready?" Boba asked when Din had managed to get his breathing under control. He didn't wait for an answer, of course. He didn't have to. Din was entirely at Boba's mercy again. Boba could do what he wanted. Boba's next pass with the razor was firmer. Din felt it skate along his jaw, taking cream and hair with it, leaving smooth skin in its wake. Din shivered. It had been a long time since he'd bothered to shave off his entire beard. He'd trim it periodically, clean up the worst of the graying edges and frayed curls, but he did never bother shaving it off entirely. It didn't matter. Din wore the helmet most of the time anyway. No one had ever seen his face, not until recently. Boba said, rubbing his thumb over a newly bare patch of skin. "Better?" He said the word like a question. Din didn't know how to answer. He'd never paid his facial hair much attention one way or the other. He didn't have an opinion. It just was just another part of maintaining himself, keeping his body in fighting shape. Din trimmed his beard because long hair would get caught in the clasps and seals of his helmet, that was all. "I don't know," Din said carefully, trying not to move his mouth too much as Boba patiently ran the razor along the underside of Din's jaw. "What do you think?" Very good, Boba repeated, tone rich. I like the deference. And the difference makes you look a little less tired. Din didn't know what to say to that, either. He just let Boba keep stroking the corner of his jaw with his thumb, something warm and fragile in his chest. Water swished, and Boba brought the razor back. You planned for this, Din murmured. It was an odd thing to plan for, the opportunity to get Din into a large body of water and shave him. But Din had figured out by now that Boba was an odd man and did things that didn't make sense just because they pleased him. He heard Boba smile. I hoped, Boba corrected. I wasn't sure how easy it'd be to convince you to try this out. What's the difference? Between planning and hoping, I mean, Din asked. Boba shrugged, a motion Din felt instead of saw. Managing expectations, he said. Since I'd only hoped to get you down here so I could take care of you properly, I'm pleasantly surprised. If I'd planned and you'd said no, I'd be put out, maybe. I wouldn't have said no, Din said. Boba tapped the side of Din's mouth. Probably not, he said, but still. Din wanted to open his eyes to glare, but couldn't seem to find the energy. The pool was warm again, lulling Din into a sort of contented stupor he was hard-pressed to want to shrug off. He liked this. Boba was close and warm. His hand was still on Din's jaw, keeping him upright. The stresses of the morning seemed very far away, locked out of this room. You said you wanted to take care of me properly, Din asked, circling back to Boba's answer. He wondered if he should be offended that Boba thought Din couldn't or wouldn't take care of himself. Boba hmmed. A little, he finally admitted. And, well... And this is good for you too, Din said, thinking back to their conversation in Boba's rooms. Boba had wanted to relax, to rest. Right, this is good for you, too. That earned Din a chuckle and an affectionate pat to the side of the cheek. Yes, Jerrica, said Boba warmly. This is good for me, too. A kernel of pride flickered in Din's chest. Good, he said, settling deeper into the water. Good, Boba repeated. Silence fell over them again, but this time it was companionable, close. Boba finished one side of Din's face and set to work on the other, pausing every now and then to clean his razor off from the water. His touches were gentle and slow, even if they felt strange on Din's newly smooth, raw skin. Din didn't have any trouble keeping his eyes closed. He let Boba do what he wanted, the warmth of his own chest expanding. This is fine, Din thought to himself as Boba used his thumb to clear away extra Depil cream. Din's skin tingled, all of the nerves in his face awake. Good, Boba said again once he'd finished. He used a little water to get rid of the rest of the Depil cream and then stepped back into the deeper water to take a look at his handiwork. Din tried not to sway too obviously in his direction. He took his hands out of the water and felt at his own face. Boba hadn't left him much. His skin was smooth underneath his fingers and tender to the touch. Odd, he thought to himself. Din couldn't remember the last time he'd been clean-shaven. Happy? Din asked. Yes, said Boba, and his honesty was as sharp as the razor. Din opened his eyes in surprise, feeling cut. He hadn't expected Boba to be so honest. I don't know why, Din thought. Boba had been honest up until now, but to hear that something like this, something as simple as letting Boba shave him, take care of him, made Boba happy, was startling. Boba was looking back at Din with something open and possessive in his eyes. Something raw. Is it part of taking control for you? Din asked, trying to understand. Boba's expression flickered. Some, Boba acknowledged. Your trust's part of it, too, that you'd trust me with this. He held up the razor,
The edge of it gleamed in the dim light, and Din tracked it with his eyes. He swallowed.
"I do," Din said softly. "I trust you."
"Do you?" Boba moved suddenly then, stepping back into Din's space so fast he kicked up water on all sides. He brought the razor to the side of Din's face again, hovering just above his skin. With his eyes open, Din could just barely see it past the ridge of his cheek. Din froze.
"Do you?" Boba repeated, just as softly.
"Yes," said Din. Boba set the blade against Din's jaw. Din knew that Boba wouldn't cut him, that Boba would be as careful now as he'd been the entire time, but his pulse still kicked in instinctive panic. The edge of the razor was bright, fine. Boba could have Din's throat out in a second if he wanted to, and like this, there was no way Din could stop him. Boba made a deep, rumbling sound.
"Udesi," he murmured.
"Easy for you to say," Din wanted to snarl. The edge of the razor was so sharp it could part Din's skin effortlessly, all the way down to the bone. Din wasn't even sure he'd feel it, not at first. Any blood running down his face would feel like water. Boba's eyes were wide and dark. His cock, a few inches away from Din's face, twitched. Din flushed. His own began to fill with blood, arousal spiking to mix with the fear. They stared at each other for a moment, the blade pressed to Din's face, the promise of bloodshed heavy between them. Then Boba pulled the razor away and took a ragged breath.
"I won't hurt you," Boba said, once he'd taken another deep breath and managed to even his voice out.
Din was impressed. Din wasn't sure he'd be able to speak at all without his voice cracking.
"Not today, at least."
Din eyed Boba's cock again. His stomach fluttered.
"What if," Din asked, very carefully,
"I asked you to?"
Boba made a soft, punched-out sound.
He leaned down again and took Din's jaw for a third time, tilting Din's chin so Din had to look up and meet his eyes. Din did this time. It was easy.
"My answer'd be the same," Boba said gently, which was a disappointment. Din's blood was hot, fizzling. He tried not to scowl and failed.
"For today," Boba said. "But if you still feel that way tonight, and were willing to try some things..."
"Yes," said Din immediately, which made Boba laugh outright.
"Eager, are you?" Boba smiled, teeth flashing. He let go of Din to take his own cock in hand, giving it a few languid, easy strokes. Din followed the motion, heat pooling in his belly, pooling lower.
"Nipar nupiru, Jerika. We've got time."
"We don't need time," Din muttered, blood still jumping. He wanted... something. He didn't know what he wanted, except that he wanted it to involve Boba's hands, Boba's body.
"We do, if I'm going to teach you how to suck a cock properly," Boba said lightly.
Din spluttered.
"Or are you a master already?"
Being teased had, in the past, meant that Boba was shifting them away from whatever deeper understanding they had between them, where Boba gave the orders, took the control, and Din obeyed and gave control over. Teasing meant that Boba was pulling them back towards business, away from the tension jangling underneath Din's skin, the desperate desire for... something. A kiss or a slap, a gentle touch or a cut. Din didn't know. He'd take either. He'd take anything. But Boba was pulling them away from that. Which, Din reasoned, meant that it was okay to come up off the bottom of the pool and tackle Boba around the middle. They both went over in the water, splashing. Boba shouted. Din grit his teeth against the pain flaring down his back and rolled, escaping before Boba could retaliate. When Boba emerged from the pool, dripping, he shook his head to clear the water from his eyes and glared at Din fiercely. Din, who was still blushing. "Who says the things he says?" he thought, despairing, aroused, trying to hide both reactions. Glared right back. Boba raised a threatening finger.
"Garjarela," he warned.
Din had no idea what that meant, but it sounded like a threat, so he inched deeper into the pool, a challenge rising in his blood to replace the lingering arousal. If Boba didn't want to bump Beskar, that was fine. Din was going to make him pay for the teasing, though. Boba saw it in his face because he cursed and lunged, grabbing for Din, who eeled out of his grip and swam deeper into the pool. They chased each other for several minutes. It wasn't like sparring or wrestling, not really. Neither of them managed to get a good enough grip on each other to inflict any damage. Din was at a disadvantage, though, slowed down by his aching shoulders, and Boba caught him eventually, wrestling Din into a loose Kashyyyk sleeper hold. "This," said Boba clearly, once Din had mostly stopped trying to claw his way free, "is not restful." "You had your chance," Din replied. "You decided to be a Shabuir instead." "I wasn't being a Shabuir," Boba said. "Not any more than usual, anyway. If I'm going to teach you how to suck a cock, Jerrica, I'd rather take my time. It's more rewarding that way, for both of us." Din did not splutter again, but he did stop struggling for a moment. "Besides," Boba added, pressing his knuckles against Din's head briefly before letting him go, "we've still got a day ahead of us." At the mention of their other responsibilities, Din's blood cooled some. Boba did still have another session of court ahead of him, which meant that Din would need to be in armor and watching the throne. And then there was Fennec to talk to, and a flyover of the palace and the surrounding desert to arrange, and Nura'd probably want Din to check in on Geeta. Din sighed. "You're probably right," he admitted. "Unfortunately," Boba agreed. But he smiled again, a quick, bright thing, and reached out to run a thumb down the smooth edge of Din's cheek. "But," Boba continued, "maybe something to look forward to tonight, yeah? If we're up for it." He was asking, again, not commanding. Din almost told Boba to make the decision for him, but decided against it. This was something new. The edges of it were blurry, not quite well-defined. "Tonight," Din agreed, "if we're up for it." He intended to be, but Boba was tired. Din could see it in his face, in the shadows underneath his eyes. Boba might need rest more than anything. "I promised Fennec," Din thought. He'd promised to help Boba rest. "I have a few hours until nightfall." Din would come up with something. "We're agreed then," said Boba. "Agreed," Din echoed. He looked over at the edge of the pool, then paused. "But we don't have to go back right now, do we?" Din wanted to swim some more. He wanted to let the water soothe his sore back, take the weight off his knees for a while. He wanted Boba to kiss him again, and wondered what it would feel like without his beard between them. Boba gave Din a small, private smile. "No," he said graciously. "We don't have to go back just yet."